present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Derek Nimmo and Rob Buckman in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. Welcome to the show, Rob. Oh,
thank you, mate. Thank you very much.
And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak, if they can, on a subject that I will give them and try and do it without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. We begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams, and the subject, Kenneth, is springing into action. So can you spring into action on that subject and keep going for 60 seconds, starting now?
Contrary to what most people imagine, I am not a lightweight. Well, I am. When I come out of that corner wearing my jockey shorts and my dorsal muscles attend, and my pectoral muscles with the tip, a tiny titty, all tense, and I rush out there, and the very sight of me is enough to make my opponents quail in the corner with fear, and the sweat begins to show right through their...
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of muscles.
Now, I don't wear them.
Clement challenged you for muscles, which you repeated right at the beginning
what
of the...
What a shame. Yes. Good
listen. Listen well, point for that, and there are 27 seconds left for springing into action, starting now.
Springing into action is the sort of thing you very seldom see at Westminster, where there's much more shuffling out of obscurity or creeping, crawling gently towards the public image that you'd always wish people had of you. But I did know a man called Halberton.
Rob Buckman.
Excuse me, challenge. I'm terribly sorry. I thought the subject was springing into action. I mean, there's all this sort of autobiographical stuff. I mean, it'd be very good for sort of flogging the newspapers, but I don't see the relevance. Could I appeal for deviation here?
You can.
From the highest order, you know.
I mean, he's gone on to the reverse of springing into action, into shuffling out of the chamber and things like that. And
very
yes, a good challenge, Rob. Yeah. All right, you've made a point.
Fine,
you've got
fine.
A point for
I was
that.
Just going to say, because I've got some tablets that could probably help several people at Westminster if they are shuffling around, you know.
Maybe if you could take one yourself now, you might calm down a bit.
Sorry.
Right. Rob, you have 7 seconds, and you have a point, of course, for a correct challenge, and the subject is springing into action, starting now.
Springing into action is something that only things that have springs can do. In particular, I refer to...
When 60 seconds is up, Ian Messiter blows his whistle, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point, and he was on this occasion our guest, Rob Buckman. So, Rob, you have 2 points at the end of that round, and you're in the lead. Unusual position for a guest. Well done. Derek Nimmo, will you begin the next round? The subject, punch bags. So following the springing into action, we now have a punch bag, and you have 60 seconds, starting now.
I can rush out of the corner in my little jockey shorts. I start hitting punch bags as quickly as I can, and my dorsal muscles are all over the place, and we say how wonderful I am.
That is one way you can hit a punch bag. Of course, in India, a punch bag is something which is used to carry around punch in. It comes from an old Hindi word meaning five, and because there is a number of contents that go into the aforementioned punch. Spices, sweetmeats, lemon, and, of course, water and spirits. And sometimes, I remember going to a gym, actually, with Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, if you like, before now, and there was this great big ball sprang up against the wall, and he started hitting it quite heavily, and into the place came Rocky Marciano, a great chum of mine, known him for a long time. And he sat down beside me and said, has somebody challenged yourself? He's got very quiet. And then in came another chap that I also know, and I began to deliver a left hook straight at it, and goodness knows, it burst and went off with this dreadful pop, and all the contents came out onto the floor, and there was nothing at all except air, this awful void. It seemed to come very quiet. What happened?
I think Ian Messer lost a pee in his whistle, actually.
I went past the thing.
Yes, you've gone well past everything, I think.
With everybody.
You see a lot of things.
And it's like it was scandalous.
I think, actually, Derek, you did actually keep going for 70 seconds. I can't give you a bonus point, but you do get 1 point for speaking as the whistle went and the bonus for not being interrupted and keeping going for the full length of time. So now you're equal with Rob Buckman at the end of the round and Clement Freud to begin the next round. The subject, unusual but delicious fish. Clement, can you go on that subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
I suppose the most unusual fish would get out of his corner with his left hand raised beneath his chin, and there would be Rocky Marciano and Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali as he was. He'd a southpaw go up fast.
Derek Nimmer, sir. Yes. There are 47 seconds left for unusual but delicious fish. Derek, starting now.
2 weeks ago, I was fishing in the Persian Gulf with Bernard Cribbins, and he caught a 5-foot barracuda.
Clement Freud challenged.
Name dropping.
So what is the challenge?
They're boring.
So, Clement, let's give Clement a bonus for a nice challenge. The audience
enjoyed
it.
What was he boring? I don't know.
42 seconds are left for unusual but delicious fish. Still with you, Derish, starting now.
What I really enjoy are the lips of the grouper fish. Now, I don't know whether you've actually experienced this particular kind of meat. It is wonderful because it has a curious texture to it. And if you steam it very gently for 14 and a half minutes, bring it out of the oven and place it on the table, particularly if you do it on papillote, it's very nice that way, and a little cream sauce with a few chives and some mint and a little white wine. I can think of no nicer fish.
He repeated little.
He did repeat little.
Rather
yes,
too often.
Yes. 16 seconds left for you, Clement, having got another point, and the subject unusual but delicious fish starting now.
Xander, I should think, is the most unusual but delicious fish. It eats other fish, which is a pretty unsociable thing to do, but roach, perch, eel, crabs, prawns, shrimps are all prey.
Greg Nimmer has challenged.
Well, he's talking about crabs and they're crustacea.
They're crustacea. They may be crustacea, but
still
they're also
them.
Classified as fish. I mean, you look on a menu under fish.
The Xander still eats them.
Do you?
Yeah. So Clement keeps the subject with 4.5 seconds on starting now.
A fighting smoked kipper.
No, Derek, just as you blew the whistle, what was that?
Well, it was a gap, wasn't it? It was fighting smoke, kipper, and stop. So I buzzed, and if there's room for my buzz before the whistle, he must have paused.
Yes, yeah. You have half a second on unusual but delicious fish. Starting now.
Fighting smoke, kipper.
Oh. I thought you were standing with a deviation, a fighting kipper. Derek, you've got more rounds and any more points than anybody in that round, so you are further in the lead now. Rob Buckman, your turn to begin. The subject after fish, chips. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Chips is the collective noun for...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
I beg your pardon?
Chips are.
Sir, please, I just wanted to say...
I wanted to give him a point.
That you've got a very, very large amount of grammatical knowledge, but chips was a semiological reference, etymological. I was going to say chips is the collective noun. It's
yes.
One of those sort of, you know, the yolks of eggs are white or the yolks of eggs is white.
Yes.
Everyone knows they're yellow and...
I'm sure you're right.
I have tablets for anybody who doesn't.
Yes, right. Well, as long as your patients believe you, we will as well.
Fine.
You have a point for that and you keep going with 57 seconds left starting now.
Chips is the collective noun for small...
Kenneth Williams.
He's repeating himself. He said it all before.
Yeah. not within the question.
I didn't get a chance.
I don't want to be nice, but he didn't say that within the question.
Rob, you're going to keep the subject and you're going to carry on with 53 seconds left on chips starting now.
When chips are made of potato, they are very useful with fish. Manufactured from the element silicon, of which the abbreviation is SI, and pronounced and spelt differently in Spanish, called silicon chips. Explains the utter failure of the Spanish electronics industry.
Derek. Yes,
repetition of Spanish.
Yes, I'm afraid you did repeat the Spanish. You got out of everything else very cleverly, but not Spanish.
He's getting all hot too. He's getting
leaking again.
So, Derek, you now take over the subject of chips. There are 29.5 seconds left, starting now.
Sometimes people say that someone has a chip on their shoulder, and this arrives from a way of carrying on.
Rob Buckman has challenged.
Sorry, I thought he said from but
he didn't.
Hesitate. I'm sorry. Did he?
Yes, he definitely hesitated. There are 24 seconds.
I did not say her.
He didn't say
chips, with you, Rob, starting now.
Oh, God. Chips.
Clement, yes, your challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes.
And blasphemy.
Why is it unfair if I challenge him for hesitation? Why is it fair because Freud challenged?
It wasn't the other way round. You've forgotten already. He challenged you for hesitation.
No, I challenged him,
too. Yes.
Not paying attention as usual.
But I agree with your challenge, Clement,
thank you.
And you have 22 seconds on the subject of chips starting now.
They do now commercially sell a new kind of chip which is full of synthetic flavour, like cucumber and newt, or pork scratchings. In fact, a vast number of nasty artificial tastes.
Rob Buckman has challenged.
Repetition of artificial?
No.
Artificiality.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I failed.
You just gave another point. That's all. You just got another point.
No, he hasn't. Clement Freud's got another point.
Yes, he's wrongly challenged, so he gets a point. That's what I'm saying.
That's all right. The audience knows that.
Oh, I love these things. I'm very sharp. Oh, I'm sly.
I think you've just tumbled what the rules are.
Yes, I've been watching these things.
Right, so Clement has another point, and there are 6 seconds on chips starting now.
It's a very odd thing that if you go into a fish and chip shop and ask for a portion of chips, they sling the potatoes in.
Clement Freud was speaking then as the whistle went, so he gained an extra point for doing so, and with the other points in his round, he's moved ahead into the lead alongside Derek Nimmo. But Rob Buckman, our guest, is only 1 point behind them, and Kenneth Williams is now trying to get an unsolicited laugh from the audience by some grotesque action, which I wouldn't deem to describe.
It wasn't unsolicited. It wasn't unsolicited. He was soliciting. I saw it.
But now he's going to be thrown back on his heels because the subject for you is Baron Corvo. So we'll tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now.
His real name was Frederick Rolf, and it changed to Baron Corvo, saying that he was entitled by papal decree to a title. He wrote, among other things...
Rob Buckman.
Sorry, no, it was a slip of the thing. I'm sorry.
Well, you'll get the point.
You want to cut it out, mate. You've already taken two liberties. Liberties.
Yeah, no,
I'm a resident here. I come all the way from Great Poland Street. I'm not going to be treated like a load of rubbish. I've got rights.
No, Clement, you've got a point for a wrong challenge.
Thank you, Nicola. What a lovely
challenge. There are 49 seconds left. Kenneth Williams still has the subject, having gained a point for a wrong challenge from Rob Buckman, and he starts now.
Author of an incredible tome entitled The Life of Cesare Borgia and Hadrian, which was made a vehicle for the stage and was a great triumph, I believe, at the Haymarket. I know it didn't start there. Among other things, he masqueraded in Durham and was thrown out of a house, holding still in his arms the bedhead when the Bishop of Durham passed.
Derek Nimmo charged.
Two Durhams.
There were two Durhams. Bishop of Durham and the Durham...
All right, well, I mean, you've just done yourself out of an interesting anecdote, that's all. That's all. He just cut off his nose to spite his face in a desperate attempt to win marks. How petty. I'm not like that. I'm humble. I don't come here to win marks. You don't need that kind of thing from me, do you? I'm not competitive.
Kenneth.
I just try to make the show...
Kenneth.
All I'm interested in, I'm so humble.
I wish you'd stayed in Great Portland Street. There are 16 seconds for Derek Nimmo to now talk on Baron Corvo, starting now.
It was quite wrong for Frederick Rolf to call himself Baron Corvo because he was extremely fertile. And why he called himself Baron, I really don't know, but I'm Durham.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of called himself.
Yes.
Also deviation, because he said he didn't know why he called himself Baron. I'd already said it was by papal decree that he maintained he was entitled to the title.
Yes, but if he's... Clement, you have 7 seconds on Baron Corvo.
At least just get 7 seconds, see, to try and get in and get the marks. You can see a mile off, can't you? You can see a mile off that strategy. If you don't know anything about him at all, he's completely ignorant. Anything about it.
Kenneth, thank you. 7 seconds, Baron Corvo, Clement Freud, starting now.
I once spent a very interesting afternoon looking for a painted glass window in Brockenhurst, which had been... Thank you.
Well, at the end of that round, Kenman Freud was again speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point and others, no, and he's now in the lead, one ahead of Derek Nimmo, Rob Buckman still in third place, and Kenneth Williams at last has some points. Derek, your turn to begin, and the subject is hot springs. Would you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Hot springs are found in several parts of the world, particularly in Iceland and New Zealand. And if one goes to the North Island near Lake Taupo of the aforementioned NZ place, one will see Rotorua, and gushing up are hot springs of great heat. And the central heating in that town comes completely from the hot springs, as indeed does the water which people bathe and wash within. If one goes further south, then one comes to Hamilton and you find there are some more hot springs and hot mud, which is even nicer because you can put it on your face and it improves the complexion no end. I remember swimming in Great Lake.
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree, Clement. You have 23 seconds on hot springs starting now.
One of the nasty things about hot springs is they do smell very unpleasantly indeed of sulfur. But in Japan, where I experienced hot springs, something even uglier occurred to me in that when I registered at the hotel, they asked me to wear a very handsome kimono with which I walked down the street and people laughed. And I... can I go on? Because it really was rather sad thing.
Yes.
I didn't know why people laughed until somebody explained to me that on the back of the kimono was the price list of the restaurant which had sold me the room in which I was staying. In fact, I was wearing a kimono that said egg and chips 15p or whatever. So there, I'm sorry I spoke now.
Clement, it's actually your turn to begin, having increased your lead at the end of that round. And somebody obviously had a bargain when you wore that kimono, but will you now talk on that subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
Bargain is something which is cheaper than you would expect it to be, otherwise it would not be a bargain. Some stores, shops, magazins, Kaufhäuser, they're called in German, have annual occasions, even two or three yearly ones, at which all produce and merchandise is marked down.
Sorry, deviation. You can't have annual occasions occurring two or three times a year.
Or even two or three times.
I just failed again, haven't I? Sorry. I'd understand if I do this once more, I have to wind my bowels out on a stick. Is that right? Sorry about this, everybody.
No.
That's what they said before I came on. They said threefold challenges. Yes. I'm sorry. I'll go home. I'm sorry. I'm going back to Great Portland Street. It's all over.
I'd rather you stayed, actually, Rob, because we enjoy hearing from
Fine.
You.
Fine. Thank you.
The wrong challenge.
Good evening, in that case.
Yes. Clement Freud, you keep the subject, and there are 41 seconds on bargain starting now.
You can get bargains in any profession. A bargain doctor would be somebody who operated on your brain rather less expensively than does someone better at it. A bargain dentist would pull out your...
Derek Nimmo, chat. Yes, I think so. 29 seconds for bargain with you, Derek, starting now.
I remember the greatest bargain I recently got, and that was when I gave my wife a credit card some 12 months ago, and she lost it last Easter. But whoever's found it has not reported yet, and they're spending less than she does. Therefore, I think this is a tremendous bargain. I'd like particularly to go to the January sales in Harrods, that lovely shop in Knightsbridge, and the excitement, you're waiting outside, and the great doors open, and in you rush, up the stairs, pulling away things that you know to be a wonderful bargain, like a four-poster bed, or a jelly, or whatever it is that you...
So, Derek Nimmo, speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point and other points, but he's still in second place. Our leaders, Clement Freud and Rob Buckman, still in third place, and he's going to begin the next round. Rob, the subject is payoffs. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Payoffs is actually, or are actually, a...
Clement Freud's challenge.
It was his bowels been coming out again.
Oh, dear. Clement, correct challenge. 55 seconds on payoff, starting now.
Payoffs is the ultimate economic, financial, or accountancy-orientated gesture, whereby, for instance, having struck a bet, the bookmaker will clear his books by allowing a transaction of a commercial nature.
Yes, very haughty.
It was very boring, anyway.
Kenneth, we're going to hear from you now on the subject of payoffs, and there are 40 seconds left, starting now.
Well, of course, in the theatre, the payoff is the tagline, so you say, I left that watch on the lamppost in Cairo in 65, and I went back in 62, it was still there, and they say, what, the watch? You say, no, the lamppost. But that's the sort of thing we always call a payoff. We had a very good payoff he had tonight, wasn't it? And of course, the way it's delivered is enormously important. You see, you've got a very clean feed, so the end line comes out loud.
Rob Buckman has challenged.
Sorry, repetition of line.
Yes, yes. I'm afraid there was. So, Rob, you have the subject, and you have 18 seconds to tell us something about payoffs, starting now.
Payoffs is an incorrect word. The true plural, like that of courts-martial, is actually pays off, which in French is the slang for the Channel Islands. In the army, pays off, spelt O-R-F, I don't know.
Rob Buckman get going till the whistle went and gain an extra point for doing so. He's still in third place, but not far behind Derek Nimmo. He's not far behind Clement Freud, but they're all a little ahead of Kenneth Williams, who begins the next round. Kenneth is looking very rigid for a change. And he's going to start the next round with door-to-door salesmen. Can you tell us something about those, Kenneth, in just a minute, starting now?
They come around selling everything from brushes, jewels, to lavatory cleaning or carpet bashing, whatever you like to call it, and policies with companies that promise that when you fall on hard times, you'll get so much cash paid out to you, and if you're not there to get it, they say it'll be given to your relatives or dependents, making everything sound like sort of legs to which you are vaguely attached. They aren't the kind of people you really should allow in past the doorstep, that is. Keep them engaged there while you back Woods make a sign and give the indication.
Derek Nimmo, chant.
Repetition of give.
Yes. You used the word give before. That was deadly boring, wasn't it? There are 9 seconds.
Not as boring as you are, anyway.
Yes, but I do give you good feed lines, don't I?
What?
There are 9 seconds for door-to-door salesman with you, Derek, starting now.
I started off in life as a door-to-door salesman. That was my first job. I mean, I was, of course, a baby before that.
Kensington Shannon.
4 eyes.
I wondered heavily, agape.
Yes.
Eyes?
Yes.
That's what you said, eye.
A rotten challenge, but it was an accurate one. The ones we usually overlook, and if you do it to Kenneth Williams, he absolutely blows through the roof. But, Kenneth, you have 4 seconds on door-to-door salesmen starting now.
They are the sort of people you must be very careful.
Cameron Freud's challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, you said people before when you were talking.
You're very keen, aren't you?
Very keen. He's got him with 1.5 seconds to go, starting now.
Door-to-door salesmen.
We have time for one more round, and Derek Nimmo is going to begin it, and the subject is the film Clinch. So, Derek, would you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
The last film that I went to see was called The Champ. It was a most moving story about a young boy going round with his father, who had been the next boxer. And the penultimate scene within the movie was of a great fight taking place in this enormous arena. And the father of the child got into this film.
Rob Buckman, challenge.
Repetition of two fathers.
Yes. You have 40 seconds to tell us something about the film Clinch, starting now.
The closest film Clinch I ever saw was in a cinematic presentation called Don't Look Now. And the film clinch concerned was between Donald Sutherland and a lady. In fact, it looked like a recreation of Outpatients, as far as I can recall, in that I spent most of the time with my face in the bag of crisps to save my embarrassment and indeed the aforementioned sweetmeat. The other film clinch I remember is...
Clement Freud is challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
Crisps are not a sweetmeat.
That's what I would have thought.
No, no, but they were very cheap. I don't remember that.
They might have been a sweetmeat.
Yes. No, they're not a sweetmeat. Clement, you have 5 seconds on the film clinch, starting now.
I haven't seen the film clinch, but I did...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Deviation. If you haven't seen one, you can't talk about it.
Well, I'm afraid even if you haven't seen mine, you can still try and talk about it in just a minute, and that's exactly what
right.
I was doing.
Yes, fine.
So he has another point and 3 seconds on the film clinch starting now.
But I saw the same reel of A Day at the Races.
Well, our final whistle from our messenger tells us that we have no more time. As I said a moment ago, it would be the last round. And to give you the final score, Kenneth Williams, giving his usual good value, of course, didn't get as many points, though we did hear from him a great deal. He was just behind our guest, Rob Buckman. Rob was only just behind Derek Nimmo, but there were all quite a few behind this week's winner, who was Clement Freud. Hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute and will want to tune in again same time next week when once again we take the air and we play this impossible and delightful game. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.